with us.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Now, 28 June marked Insurance Awareness Day. It was an ideal opportunity to remind South Africans that insurance is a non-negotiable, a financial lifeline, and a get back on your feet solution for when things go wrong. Last year, over a 3-month period, that is January to March 2022, and according to the SAPS, there were 40,960 home burglaries. Hijackings went up by 19.7, and there were 9,377 cases of car and motorbike theft. Then the floods came, destroying homes and washing cars away. We are not talking about a minor bump or a dent here and there, but a complete write-off and the loss of hundreds of thousands of friends. And when one starts to think about such things, you realize perhaps, as they would say, the politicians, perhaps insurance is an important discussion that we should have. And so we're talking to Ruben this evening. Good evening, Ruben.
Good evening. Thank you so much for the invitation, and good to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. I normally ask my guests how their day was, so I'll do the same. How was your day?
Today was very interesting. Did not expect to be snowed out.
Ah, certainly. Me too, eh? I didn't expect that. I was sitting here, I was like, yo, when did we get here? It's Gauteng.
Definitely interesting. First time in my lifetime that we've had this much snow in Johannesburg, I'll tell you.
It was really, really interesting. And one thing that I did, I must tell you, Ruben, and to be honest, I just stayed in bed. I was like, I ain't going out in such a weather. So I don't know if you had to go out today.
Very much, unfortunately. Your day sounds great.
No, I didn't. I just said, no, I'm not going anywhere. But anyways, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Before we get into this one about insurance awareness and why that is important, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. I work at the Hollard Insurance Company, which is an insurer here in South Africa.
Yeah.
And where I specifically fit in is, so I look after sort of consumer and customer engagement and the communication. And that really means I think about how we as an insurer engage with customers, our sort of policyholders, as well as with consumers. How do we communicate not just the value of insurance, but sort of in general how insurance works? You know, I think we do quite a lot of educational content. And that's really where I fit in. I'm also personally a Christian, so it's really great to be on your radio station for the first time.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I think this will be the first of many conversations, because that's what we try and do on Mondays. It's a very complicated thing, this thing called personal finance, and it touches on things like this that you're saying. Now, like you said, when you just spoke now, you know, you teach or you educate people on how insurance works. Do you find that there is a gap, that people don't even know what insurance is or what it's meant to do?
I think, to answer your question shortly, yes. I think there is quite a lot to be said about how we think, not just about insurance, but our personal finances in general. I think there's some real conversations for us to have. In when we have conversations with friends, with family members, we're quick to kind of ask, how was your day? How was your week? But when's the last time you sort of went to a friend or family member and said, how's money? How's your budget? How's your spending? How's your savings? How's your investments? So I think there's a lot to be said about sort of our South African culture in terms of how we relate to money, our sort of money psychology.
Yeah.
And when I think from if I look at a purely educational aspect, I think insurance specifically, I think a lot of us we're not necessarily the types of people that are going to be engaging with those sort of lengthy terms and conditions, policy documents that you might get with an insurance policy. And I think we have to recognize that insurance is ultimately a contract between insurer and policyholder, but it isn't necessarily the type of thing that we think about as a contract in that way. And so I think that's why it's so important to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah.
And I think for us as South Africans to take that very personal, how we make our finances work for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Is insurance then a grudge payment with your clients and whoever you speak to and educate? Do you find that it's always a grudge payment? And I don't want to really single out to this particular insurer, but there's an advert that makes it almost sound like it's a grudge payment.
You know, and I think I don't think we can condemn anyone for looking at insurance sometimes as a grudge purchase, because I think the challenge when it comes to insurance, and I'll speak to myself maybe as much as your listeners, you know, is that when we look at insurance as a grudge purchase, it's often because we feel like we're not actually getting value from it, right? Because if we walk into a store, we buy a pair of shoes, we buy groceries, or sort of whatever we might be paying for, tank of petrol, there's immediate value and there's benefit. We feel like we're getting something for our money spent. When it comes to insurance, you might see that debit order going off at the end of the month. And yes, you might realize that it's giving you peace of mind, that an asset might be protected or your loved ones might be taken care of, but it doesn't feel tangible in that way.
Mm.
And I think that's part of how we need to change a little bit how we think about insurance, not just as that sort of grudge purchase, but as one of many financial tools available to ourselves in taking care of ourselves and our loved ones were something to happen to us, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We were just talking on as we started the show there, right, that there's been a lot of hijackings, home burglaries, almost 41,000, in fact, of home burglaries that have taken place just in 3 months, January to March last year. I think that's scary on its own to think about this. There's a very high chance that, you know, there might be burglaries, something might be taken away from you. Sometimes you drive into your house, your estate, wherever the case might be, and you get hijacked while you are trying to go in. So that's really interesting. But I think many people would argue that the cost of living and the current crisis that we have with regards to the cost of living, including the record high fuel prices, if you like, doesn't that make insurance just a little bit unaffordable for most people?
Sure, you know, and I think that's a very good question. And I'll start answering with a personal testimony, an experience that I went through recently.
Yeah.
Is that recently I had a cell phone stolen in the last sort of some month or so. And you know, when it first occurred, my first thought was actually, don't worry, it's on the insurance. I'm perfectly taken care of. Only to discover later that I had removed it at some point from the insurance and forgot about it.
Oh no!
You know, only at that point do you quickly realize how hard, harsh, and expensive a lesson a mistake like that can be. And I think the reality is, as you say, sort of with the picture in South Africa, there are a lot of risks from weather to crime in terms of loss events. And I think we have to think about insurance might feel unaffordable. But when I looked at, in this cell phone example, when I looked at the sort of costs that I might be paying, or you might be paying for a home cover, for example, you know, you might be paying a 500 to 1,000 rand a month, for example, for your sort of home cover. And that's anywhere from 6 to say 12,000 rand a year.
Yeah.
And if you think about the value of that asset, that's anywhere from a few hundred thousand to a few million rand.
Yeah.
And if you were to think about that break-even point over a period of years, that suddenly you realize that actually insurance is not quite as expensive as you might think, and actually becomes a really valuable savings tool, you know. But that isn't to be said that we can't be very intentional about how we structure our insurance to make sure that it works for, like I always use this phrase, to make sure our insurance works for us, but also for our budgets and for our wallets. And we can definitely have a really interesting conversation about how just consumers and your listeners can really think about engaging with their insurance and making it work for them a little bit better and be a bit more affordable, but still maintain cover, you know?
I actually want us to then sit on that one where you're saying we can make the relationship. Because, I mean, we look at our insurers as, like I said, it's a crash purchase or crash payment, whatever the case might be. And every time that money goes out, we all feel like, why am I even paying for this? And then an event happens, but there's still that process where it might even get declined and all that. And it raises that love-hate relationship that we have with our insurers. Are you suggesting that there is a way that we can have a better relationship ahead or even before these kind of events take place?
I think absolutely, yes. There are, and I think for me, probably the first point to make is that when you engage with your insurer, you should feel confident and you should feel empowered to know that you can ask questions and to know that you can be taken seriously. And to also know that, you know, there is quite a lot, and I speak for South Africa specifically, is that there is quite a lot of legislation and different regulatory bodies that monitor the insurance industry from a product design perspective, from a servicing perspective, in a sense of sort of customer service and experience, in terms of financial sort of financial reporting, etc. And I think because of that sort of stringent compliance requirements on different insurers, is that there's quite a lot of means and bodies available to consumers for their own sort of encouragement, if it makes sense. And I think a key thing that I want to mention is that if you have a situation like that with you, when you're in a conversation with your insurer and you know you're not satisfied, you're going, I don't appreciate this. I feel like this wasn't described to me. You feel like something somewhere you weren't treated as fairly as you should have. You, one, can always escalate that that complaint to your insurer and themselves. And I think, secondly, to the respective ombudsman. So that's the life ombudsman or the short-term ombudsman. And I think that's so important because no one should ever feel like they're not being treated fairly by their insurer. And I think to add on to your question there, in a sense of, well, what can we then actually do? And then how can we make sure that relationship, because it's not just about the sort of when we feel that we've possibly been treated unfairly, but it's, you know, most people hopefully will never have an experience like that. And the day to day, as you say, when that sort of debit order goes out of your account, you want to feel that you're getting value. And I think the key thing is that it's about maintaining cover, because at the end of the day, you took out that cover because you saw there was a possible risk event. And if a catastrophic event were to happen, a flood, et cetera, a cell phone stolen, and what would those costs be? So how can you maintain your cover, but ultimately really sort of cut down on your premiums?
Sure. How do we then cut down? How do we make sure that our premiums don't break the bank?
Sure. You know, I think there's, I'll speak generally because there are, there's, you know, if you look at short-term insurance, if you like life insurance, like a funeral cover or a life policy, something of that sort, there will be some subtle differences between them, but it doesn't mean that there aren't some really important sort of lessons and general things that we can think about. The first one is looking at the amount that you're insured for. Because if you, for example, have a life policy and you might be paying, say, 500 rand a month for this, if you reduce that policy from, say, the 3 million rand or 1 million rand that it is at the moment, and you were to bring that down by, say, 50%, how much more could you bring your premium down? Because what that means is, were something to happen to you or were something to happen to that asset that you're protecting, although it might not necessarily be the ideal amount that you would want to receive in a payout, it still means that you have some cover in place. And sort of, you know, when interest rates are down, when inflation is looking a bit better, there's nothing stopping you from upgrading again and going back to where you wanted to be in the first place. Secondly, is I think very often when it comes to terms and conditions, is they can be a little bit complex, and I speak for myself here. There's quite a lot of benefits in your policy that you might actually be paying for that you're not necessarily aware of. And it's always that question of, do I actually need this? Is this a nice to have? Do I need this benefit? And there's that will differ from insurer to insurer and product to product. But it's worthwhile to sit down with your policy and kind of investigate to make sure that you're still ultimately getting what you need and only what you need. And because that can cut your premium down quite a lot. I think the other thing that we often as consumers don't think about is consolidating our policies between sort of different products as well as between insurers. Because what we I see very often when we have different conversations with policyholders and insurers is that you know, a lot of people choose to take out similar products or policies with multiple insurers. We see often individuals taking multiple funeral policies with different insurers, where the reality is, you could, for example, consolidate all of that under one insurer, that same value, or even possibly a greater value of some insured for a smaller premium. Because what ends up happening is all insurers in that premium that you pay is made up of different things, from commercial fees, admin costs, etc. And if you're paying those same costs to multiple insurers, you're effectively paying those commercial and admin costs multiple times, where if you bought that into one insurer, you could pay that only once and cut down your premium. So that's a real pro tip. I think the other thing to consider is to shop around. I think often as South Africans, we look at banks and we look, or general financial services, banks and insurers, as long-term agreements. And the reality is your insurer should be working for your money. You know, they should be working for your premium, and you should feel that they're putting in the effort to keep your premium and to keep your business, because not all insurers consider risk equally. And that might mean that you could get a policy very similar to what you've got with your current insurer at another insurer for a much better price. And it's worthwhile to, even if it's every year on like a national insurance sale like we had 2 weeks ago, to go back, shop around, and make sure that you're still getting the best value for your money.
Yeah, I love that. Which then brings me to a question that says, is there such a thing as overinsured? And maybe even related to that, how do I even know if I need something insured? In other words, is there some sort of risk assessment that I can preliminarily do on my own before maybe I approach someone like you who's an expert in this field or whatever, so that I can see whether I'm overinsured, underinsured, or where maybe there might be a bit of a gap? Because like you said, the one thing that you don't want to wake up with and is realizing that actually this is not insured.
Absolutely. And I'll take your second question first, is how do I know if I actually need to have something insured?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's no hard and fast rule. The reality is all insurance and all of our sort of financial decisions, in my opinion, should be driven by our personal needs and our needs analysis. You know, think about your financial goals. This might be, you know, I want to own a car one day, buy property one day, and I want to retire comfortably. I want to retire a parent comfortably. Those sort of financial goals, as well as our non-financial goals. You know, do you want to start a family? Do you want to perhaps want to start a business, or, you know, et cetera, pay for a child to go to tertiary education? Think about those goals and ultimately structure your finances so that it enables you and empowers you to get to those goals as quickly and as comfortably as you can. So when you then specifically need to ask the insurance question is, how could any of these goals be obstructed were an event to occur? And you might then go, but Ruben, when you say event, what do you mean? Please stop speaking all of this insurance jargon, you know? Really, it's what unforeseen events could occur. And like we started this conversation with, is that loss, like a theft or a damage? Think about unforeseen events, but also foreseen events. You know, I think the reality is the death rate is still about 100%, you know, and we don't know when it's going to occur, but we do know that at some point all of us will pass away. And how can we, as best as possible, ensure that our family has the peace of mind, especially if I'm, for example, the main breadwinner, were something to happen to me, how would I know that they're taken care of? Are there any, what costs could pop up? If you think about you might be paying for a home loan, et cetera, et cetera. And if you were to pass away, what would happen then? And how would your family be able to cope with those expenses? So I think it's ultimately, it's your needs analysis that you drive you and where and what could happen that could affect you in reaching those goals or your loved one from reaching their personal or financial goals. If yes to those questions, then I think it's worthwhile to reach out to an insurer and again, shop around. Different insurers have different products and, you know, and see what makes the most sense for you. I always think about buying insurance as buying a pair of shoes. When by the time that you walk into a shoe store, you know the brand, you know the color, you know the size, you know the type of shoe that you're looking for. Nobody walks into a shoe store, spins in a circle, and buys the first pair that their hands land on, you know? And in this, your insurance questions and options should be driven by the same kinds of needs like that. And then if you think about, okay, but Ruben, you know, how much should I be insured for? If I've realized I need to be insured, how much? And that could be a funeral cover decision, to be a life cover decision, or it could be an asset like even a cell phone, a car, or a home. Can I be overinsured? Can I be underinsured? And to make that answer simple, yes, you can be overinsured. You can be underinsured. What that really means is it's a comment on the value of the loss. If you think, for example, you sort of say, you, like in my case, a cell phone is stolen, and I had only insured that cell phone for, say, 2,000 Rand, but the value of the cell phone is actually, say, 5,000 Rand. Then what effectively happens is I'm underinsured in the sense of that I can successfully claim from my insurer, I get my 2,000 Rand, but that doesn't actually enable me to go out and buy that same phone. So I'm not actually in the same financial situation that I was before this event occurred. And practically, from an insurance perspective, that means that you were actually paying a smaller premium than you actually needed to for the loss that you could have experienced. And that if you choose to be underinsured, because you can make that and make that intentional decision, it just means that you need to be aware that it might not cover the full cost of your loss. So that's very important to be aware of. If you're overinsured, that really means that you, in that cell phone might be worth the 5,000 rand, but you're actually paying premiums for an 8,000 rand value. And the issue then can be, depending on your insurer and depending on your product, is you might actually only get the payout for the 5,000 rand. And what that practically means is that you're actually overpaying on premiums every month. And that's the last place that, especially in this economy, that we, any of us want to be, is overpaying premiums and getting less than what we're actually paying for.
Yeah.
So if you wanna make sure you're not over or under insured, and probably the best thing to do is to go back to your policy schedule, your terms and conditions, and just actually look at the value that you might be insured for. Is that market value? Is it replacement value? And what that actual rand value might be? And then how that correlates to your premium, because it might be contributing a specific portion, percentage portion to your premium. Say if you're paying 200 rand, it might be contributing 50 rand or 40 rand to that per month. And to reevaluate that each year as your needs and as your assets might be changing in sort of value.
I think that might even just be the problem right there, right? There's this huge insurance papers or policy schedules that are often sent to us without necessarily an understanding of what's in there, what's not in there, and all that. And we are all expected to almost read them, or sometimes expected to go and consult. But even that consulting takes time and takes money attached to it. And so I do think that the most people would then have a little bit of skepticism and a little bit of mistrust or about insurers, or even on insurers, if you like. How do we work on the mistrust that most people have towards insurance companies? And maybe how do insurance companies also work towards that? Is that what the Insurance Awareness Day is about?
I really appreciate that question, because I think it really speaks to the real relationship that a lot of us have with not just with insurance, but with our finances. Because, you know, I think especially these days, there's a lot of paranoia and, you know, fair concern in terms of how we're spending our money and what we're getting in return for it. And I think the security that I can give you listeners from an insurance perspective is that because there is so much legislation involved and so many different regulatory bodies for insurance, is really no insurer is in any way, shape or form in the business of not wanting to pay claims. Okay. I've actually seen personally situations where insurers are underpaying the number of claims on a specific product, and they would actually be intentionally looking at claims that be coming in that don't actually meet the full criteria and still paying them out anyway to actually increase the sort of claims ratio in that way. So I think really you can rest assured that your insurer is, yes, they're still a for-profit business, and we have to have that conversation. But they are actually looking out for your interests often a lot more than we might be thinking. But because, like I said, you know, they're, insurers are ultimately a for-profit business. How then do we deal with that mistrust? And I think insurers are really trying to do quite a lot to engage with consumers and policyholders in a way that is really a lot more accessible and digestible than those sort of 40 to 80 page policy documents. You know, so I think there's the benefit of, if there is something that you don't understand, you can always engage with your insurer and ask very specific questions if you even want to. If this event were to happen, what would happen with my policy? Can I claim? What would I receive in payout? What documents would you need? What process? How long would it take? All of those kinds of very specific questions. Because ultimately, if you can identify what is making you feel uncomfortable, is it the product that you're having? Is it the amount that you might be paying each month? Is it the insurer in general in terms of some of their processes and some of their communications? And then how can you, if that means changing, then let's have a conversation about changing and making sure that you feel that your family members have the peace of mind that, you know, and you have the peace of mind that if something were to happen, and God forbid something were to happen to you, that your family members would be able to successfully claim without you, you know? And I think that's really important. So I think if you ask me, Ruben, but practically, how can we protect ourselves and to make sure that ultimately, if I pay my premiums, and something were to happen and I claim, I would get my payout. And I think the first thing is to make sure that you're comfortable with those T's and C's. And if you're not the type of person to read those 80 page documents, so like I said, actually ask your insurer some specific questions. And I think secondly is to, like on an insurance awareness day, is to practically and make sure that it's still up to date. Your policy is still up to date as it can be, because, you know, in a year's a long time, and needs change, life changes, relationships change. Do you need to increase your payout amount? Perhaps you've had children. Do you need to decrease your payout amount? For example, if you've paid off a bond, and you perhaps you don't need actually that much of a life cover anymore. You know, if you started a business, have you become a grandparent? As life changes and we go through different seasons, make sure that your sort of your policy reflects that as closely as possible. And I think secondly is to make sure that we actually have these insurance conversations, not just between ourselves and our insurer, but with our loved ones. You know, I think it's so important, and we see this very often. One of the biggest issues in the insurance industry is the massive amount of unclaimed benefits, where somebody has paid for years, they've paid their premiums diligently, and then because no family members know that this policy exists, no one claims. So insurers actually hold onto those funds. And you can imagine how unfortunate that is. That's where you've made all these preparations for your family members, and simply because they don't know it exists, they don't claim. And your insurer doesn't know how to reach your family members because you haven't updated your beneficiaries. So I think that just speaks volumes to tell your beneficiaries that you have a policy and make sure that your insurer knows actually how to reach your beneficiaries. That's so important. And I think finally is that if you are concerned about anything, if you feel that perhaps your finances are complex and your financial needs are complicated, and for really a host of reasons, is that there are always things like insurance brokers and financial advisors and financial planners that you can reach out to that actually be able to sit with you and really discuss your finances directly and make bespoke recommendations on products, on investments, on different financial decisions that you can make to best equip and protect yourself and your loved ones.
It's very great to speak to people like yourselves, because I honestly am one of those that have a really not so great relationship with my insurers, because I'm always trying to read and reread and reread this thing, because I know of people, and I've experienced some of my friends who were affected, where they were going to claim and then the insurer said, well, we can't pay that, or that can be done, or that can be done. And that just becomes this big, big problem that we all sit with. But you're obviously thinking, I can't cancel this thing. If I do, this might happen. And sometimes we are constantly shopping for the cheapest, not even realizing that the cheapest sometimes means you are underinsured, you know, for the value of your household or your car or whatever else that is your asset and that you're trying to insure. And so we are always shopping around, and there's always these things. But it's great to talk to people like you so that we get a better perspective on this insurance thing. As we draw to a close, what would you say are some of the common myths surrounding insurance that maybe you can help us to a little bit debunk for our listeners as well?
Absolutely. You know, I think I'll touch on two things that you actually mentioned. You actually mentioned some really important sort of misconceptions, because I think firstly is that idea that cheaper is always better. And I think specifically when it comes to insurance, is the challenge is that you often get what you pay for. And if your insurance premium, if you're considering comparing premium value to premium value, you might see one insurer or one product is half the price than the other, and you go, oh my goodness, I'm going that direction. I'm changing. Not necessarily realizing that, as you say, the insured amount might be very different, might be much less, so you'll end up very underinsured. But also, the risk and the coverage itself might be quite different. So for example, I'll take myself for an example. You might actually be covered for damage. So if you drop your cell phone, you can claim. But if your cell phone is stolen, you're not actually covered for theft. And I think that's so important, is that we have to think about the for that premium. So I think that's one. The second one that you touched on is that that this idea that sort of all insurance premiums are made, or all insurance products are equal, and all cover is equal. And, you know, we see this very often, is that it's not just like that cell phone example. It's not just about the loss event that you could experience, but in thinking about what is actually covered. Because, you know, a misconception that I had to deal with was that home cover is not contents cover. And I think often we think about these things of, if my car is insured, then all of my car is insured. Mm. And yes, that could be the case. You could have a comprehensive policy, but it could also be that you insured just the body of your vehicle and not, say, the tires or not, say, the windshield.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important, is to realize that not all insurance products are made equal, you know? And you have to very intentionally interrogate and make sure that ultimately your needs are met. You know, that's what matters here. I think a third thing, and this is specific, I'm speaking really to myself here, and preaching to my own choir, is to say that, you know, as a young person, life insurance is often something we think about as we don't need it. That, you know, you only need this if you're older in life, if you've got children as dependents specifically, when the reality is that the younger that you are, you're probably going to get life cover as cheap as you can at the moment.
Yeah.
And because you're generally healthier. You know, and I think also the case is life insurance isn't just about taking care of dependents, because if you were to pass away, yes, think about your dependents, but also, you know, your most valuable asset isn't actually your house or your car, it's actually your earning ability. And that's really what life insurance is also about, because a disability or an illness cover will protect you if you're unable to work or earn because of an illness or a disability. So I think that's so important, is that just because you're young doesn't mean that you don't necessarily need a life insurance policy of some sort. That's very important. And a fourth one is to even think about your loyalty to your insurer. Make sure that your insurer is working for you, and that means that just because you've stayed with an insurer for a long period of time doesn't necessarily mean that you're still getting the best deal. So be intentional about that shopping around. Something else that I've thought about is that, or that we often hear, is that specifically people that have full-time employment, they might say something like, you know, I have a group policy, or I actually have an insurance policy, a life policy, a funeral policy through my work.
Yes.
And that's fine. And that could be sufficient for you. But I think very often when we're so excited about getting this new job, we sort of go all through the paperwork and the processes. We don't necessarily ask those questions. Does this meet my needs? And very often you'll find that, depending on your health status and your age, you could significantly be underinsured. And because those are often small and very simple policies, and you might need to top that up. And there might be very cheap, affordable, and even cheaper option through your place of work in that way. So it's worthwhile to ask those kinds of questions.
You can continue.
No, go ahead, please.
I was about to ask, when should I do a review of my policies?
Good question. You know, I think you can be the type of person that sets your calendar to it, that says every year on this date I'm going to set to review it. And a really good date to choose is the actual and the renewal date, or the anniversary date of your policy.
I see.
So the day that you took that out, if you took it out today on the 10th of July, every 10th of July you go back to that policy and just look at it just once and just say, does this still meet my needs? That's one option. The other option you can think about is any life changes. If there's any changes that you've recently gone through, or that you see on the horizon, and the birth of a child, the change of a job, the purchase of a home, a marriage, a divorce, and getting a degree, you know, the list is so long. Any significant changes in life like that, it might be worthwhile to go back to your policies and just again think, is this still best for me? Does this still meet my needs?
So that's really, really important. What was the theme for this year?
The theme for National Insurance Day.
Yes.
You know, generally the theme is just about creating the awareness for sort of the self-importance of insurance to us as individuals, and ultimately also at a sort of a much larger, almost socioeconomic scale. That's the key awareness component.
Sure. Thank you so much for taking the time this evening. And I know I went a little bit overboard, but we really appreciate your time and some really valuable insights that you've shared with us. I do want to say, and my producer's listening, I think we will have some part two or three as we try and unpack this a little bit more. But thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very kindly for the invitation and discussion, and look forward to the next one then.
Certainly. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was Ruben talking to us this evening, of course, about insurance awareness and why that is important.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.